Bullshit Opinions, issue to you weekly, live and direct, uncut, unfettered, and unadulterated. From the mouth of one Justin Robert Young, that is me. I am your humble host for this show. In this episode, we will be discussing so many things. Conflict. Conflict is our theme, ladies and gentlemen. We will be discussing the conflicts of the news. What might you be wondering? What would that be? Well, we have racial and civil unrest right here in the U.S. of A. in Ferguson. We have unrest abroad. Bombs raining down over Baghdad. I mean, probably like, I think over as in like north of Baghdad. But no, I talk about a conflict that is a little bit more close to home, a little bit more near and dear to my particular situation, and that is Uber versus Lyft. I'm going to bring you the blow by blow. You have a lot of options. Man, you can go on over to the fast talking, gum snapping Hollywood Tom Merritt over at Daily Tech News Show. He's going to give you the business, let you know what's going on. You can go on over to Sarah Lane on the Twit Network on Tech News Tonight. She can tell you all the details. I believe she had the author of the Verge article that I'll be talking about tonight. But nowhere can you find the kind of opinion that I will give. This is a once-in-a-lifetime unique opportunity to hear a complete idiot's opinion on this particular story. Now, you might say, that doesn't do me any fucking good, Justin. I can't work with that. A fucking half-cocked opinion? This is the internet. I can turn over an internet rock and find a half-cocked opinion. Well, I got something. It's going to be a little news you can use. Oh, you didn't think I got down like that? Well, guess what? I motherfucking do goddamn get down like that. I have traveled across this country for the past damn near 2.5 years. And I'm going to give you a little fruit of that labor. I'm going to tell you how to rent a car without looking like a mark-ass buster with all the other motherfuckers sniggering behind you saying, look at the idiot renting a car like a doofus. There's a couple things that you need to know. I'm going to let you know. That's a little news you can use from the gerbs. And also, it couldn't be a podcast in which I talk about whatever I want unless I talked about the Labor Day Classic. The Marriott Cock Squat. The Super Bowl of Night Attack. The one-time WrestleMania of NSFW. It is Dragon Con week, and I'm only 48 hours from getting on a plane and heading out to Hotlanta. White Freak Nick awaits, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to tell you all about why I love that convention so much, even when it annoys the shit out of me, which we can get into, because ooh boy, did it annoy the shit out of me this week. And then also, I got a little story to tell you about a man I ran into today on the streets of San Francisco outside of the historic Moscone Center. Made me smile. Made me smile in a way that I have not smiled in a long time. And it was a special thing. All that in your emails today. But let's go ahead and get into this Uber versus Lyft thing. If you are not familiar with the concept of Uber versus Lyft, then you live a life that is essentially writing in Sanskrit and pissing in jars so you can later drink them. It's an awful caveman existence you live in if you do not have an opportunity to enjoy the fruits of Uber and Lyft. If you're unfamiliar with these concepts, allow me to come like Moses down the mountain and deliver unto you the truth. Uber and Lyft are ride-sharing services. Basically, what they do is they let you know that you can call somebody who, of their free time, is working as an independent contractor for either Uber or Lyft. You put your credit card into an application on your phone or iPad, and then you say, pick me up right here. They pick you up right there. They drive you to where you need to go, and they have no choice as to determine, you know, that they're going to take your fare or not take your fare based on where you are going, like cabs do. They always take credit card. In fact, they only take credit card because all the transactions are done through the app. No worrying about cash. Now, if this is not a goddamn revolution to you, then you have not dealt with cabs. I fucking hate cabs. I loathe them. I lived and grew up in a tourist town that is spread out. Fort Lauderdale makes its living by having tourists come into town and use cabs because they don't want to rent a car. By and large, this is from the airport to the beach. People go ahead and get a hotel by the beach. They get a cab. They go there. They stay there. Cabs in South Florida are fucking usurious, horrifying experiences. They suck. Dicks. They're awful. I hate them with a thousand passions. Now, you might think, Justin, you're being a little too rough. Too rough on the poor cabs. Fuck no. They are liars. Liars. I grew up in and of a generation wherein cash is a secondary way to pay. Credit is the name of the game. I carry credit on me far more than I carry cash. If I come into a cash-only situation, there's a high likelihood I have to go visit an ATM because I don't fucking carry it on me. Get into these cabs. And I understand where they are coming from on some level. It costs them money to process a credit transaction. It does not cost them money to take cash. So this is a regular occurrence of something that happens in a South Florida cab. You get in, and there is a man who looks likely of Caribbean descent. And when you walk into that cab, this motherfucker speaks like Mr. Belvedere. Oh, my good God. Minding his P's and Q's. Articulating his sentences in English like he was motherfucking Alfred Pennyworth. Dude could fucking know where the Bat Cave is. This is the kind of sophistication for which this cab driver talks to you in English. Then you get about halfway to your destination and you say, hey, by the way, you can take credit card, right? Silence. Silence is what you hear. Because the next words mark a tremendous departure from what you have already heard. Oh, no. Where was that once articulate Mr. Belvedere sounding motherfucker? Gone. Like dust in the wind. Only replaced by a man who barely speaks English. Broken. Broken. That's what you hear. If you were to close your eyes, imagine with me right now, ladies and gentlemen, close your eyes and imagine that you are in the back of this Fort Lauderdale cab. You are half drunk, and instead of going down to Fat Cats in downtown Fort Lauderdale and then trying to go back to your house in Davie, Florida, instead of driving there, you want to be safe. You want to make sure that you are doing your due diligence to keep the roads of Broward County safe. And instead, you are met with a perfectly working credit card machine and a cab driver who says, broken, broken. Uh-uh, motherfucker. I know you speak English. I know that, like, and then you explain to him, no, but wait, it seems like it's working. That's his response. Broken. Broken? Broken. And he starts fucking articulating the tone as if to say, I have come to this country and I only learned one word. Broken. this point, you are in a rage. And what follows is a true story. I was hanging out with a friend of mine. We're both drunk coming back from Fort Lauderdale to the Davie area. This dude's like, broken. You need ATM. We are fucking incensed. So I say, listen, I'm going to go into that ATM. I'm going to get out your money. But you need to stop this fucking meter. Because if this meter goes up a cent, we're done. I'm going to throw you the money and we're just going to leave. Because you fucking initially, and this dude did, he told us that there was going to be, that credit cards were allowed. And then halfway through said it was broken. We were not fucking pleased by this. So my friend, Kate, is a firecracker. Man, she will not take shit from nobody. And I say, Kate, you're the pit bull. You stand outside here. If that goes up one red, good goddamn cent. We're just throwing this motherfucker the money, and we're just going to walk home. And this is about half a mile. We got to walk. So I'm there getting out money out of this ATM at the Mobile on the corner of University and Davie Boulevard. Big shout out to that Mobile. And next thing you know, I see Kate getting up in this dude's face like she was defending gang turf. She is up like a motherfucking basketball wife. His fucking fingers in his face and storms into the Mobile. This motherfucker let the goddamn thing go up. Throw in the money. So I just fucking, I'm going to back her play, man. She calls the play. I back the play that she calls. Throw this dude the money, we walk. Now, it was probably not the safest thing. She was in heels. It was just a mess. It was a hot mess. But we stood on principle. And so I give you all of this information so we can now discuss this Uber versus Lyft. Because these two companies have solved my problem. And I do find it to be a very serious problem. Because here's something. I'm just going to let y'all know. I'm going to put this out on Front Street. And I am proud about it. But there's been plenty of times where I have driven my car over the legal limit. Plenty of times. And I could give you excuses. I could offer for you a lot of reasonings as why I did it. But it was fucked up. It was fucked up and it was wrong. It was very wrong. And I put a lot of people at risk going out there and driving as drunk as I did. I dare say, not to excuse my own behavior, but it is a cultural problem in areas that are fairly spread out. It is a problem that I believe can be solved by relatively cheap citizen cab companies like Uber and Lyft. Now, the cab companies fight against it. But what has happened now is that this solution has become so popular and these companies have expanded so far that they are now fighting against each other. And this matters to me. Because I do believe that if I had had these options, I would not have driven drunk as much. I would have gotten in a cab that cost me $6 or $7 as opposed to $25 that a cab used to cost, not to mention the combined about an hour wait on either side of when the cab would show up. I would be able to get there, get somewhere else. Me and my friends could split cabs. It could be very easy. So now they're fighting against each other. Uber was revealed in an article on The Verge today that it had a systematic program to order fake or order rides on credit cards on Uber issued and branded phones and credit cards to fuck with Lyft, hinder its advancement, and try to convert Lyft drivers. This is fucked up, right? I don't think this is a good idea. I think that there is a line between ruthless aggression in terms of fighting for the consumer and hindering the consumer, which is what they are doing with Lyft. I mean, I understand they're fighting for a very limited footprint, and I understand that they believe this is a zero-sum game, and I'm not here to tell them their business because I feel like they've done a lot of really, really, really good things. But this is distasteful to me to the point where I have a great amount of brand loyalty to Uber. I downloaded Lyft today. Next time I need a car, I'm going to call that pink-ass mustache and say, let's fucking rock and roll. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. I do not give a fuck if both Uber and Lyft are fucking fronts for the Chinese government so they can gas and fucking harvest the organs from political dissidents. I will never, ever take a cab again for the rest of my life. Welcome to the Jerry Show. We are going to have music from a young man that I have kept in touch with for many years. I first heard from him because he was a fan of the Weird Things podcast. His name is Carson. He goes by the DJ name Tropics. He made an awesome Night Attack White People Rich remix. I'm going to be playing his songs throughout the entire program. Go ahead and holler at him, soundcloud.com/TROPIX. I'll be right back. Meshcom.
Because Brian is balling. No. So you don't care how much it is.
Because you don't care what the price is, right?
White people rich,
firebrushed wood,
white people rich,
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 firebrushed wood,
white people rich,
white people rich,
what?
White people rich,
firebrushed wood,
white people rich,
white people rich,
what?
White people rich,
firebrushed wood,
never say that your old pal Justin Robert Young doesn't give you nothing. So I'm about to give you something for real. This is some take it home, put it in your pocket kind of shit. This is for some for real on the road knowledge. That's what I do for you. I don't know how many times you guys have ever been in the position to rent a car. I would say for most people on average, you're going to rent a car maybe once a year. Maybe once every couple years. If it is part of your business to travel, then obviously you rent a lot more. I work for the Go Game. If this is the first time that you are listening to this program in which I mention what I do for a regular-ass job, that is what I do. I put on scavenger hunts all over the country and the world for a little company called the Go Game. Now, this puts me on the road quite a bit. Last year, I flew about 110,000 miles on United, and this year, I am on track to probably do about 90 or 100,000 as well. That also puts me in a lot of rental car lines. And so what I want to do is just let you guys know a few rules, the old Justin Robert Young rules for renting a rental car. Number one. What you want to do is rent it online using services like Hotwire, CarRentals.com, or Priceline. Expedia, I think, is the umbrella for which owns both Hotwire and Car Rentals. The reason for it is this. If you try to go on to a car company's actual site, they're going to try and entice you in there by doing like frequent renter programs. But if you were just going to rent a car once a year, that doesn't do you no fucking good, all right? And you're going to pay like 5 to 6 times as much if you go on their site. I have no idea why this is, by the way. This is an absolute travesty. It's really ridiculous, and I don't get it. You go to Hertz, and they're going to say renting a car is $60 a day. You go to Hotwire, and you do a, hey, we can't tell you who's offering this price, and it's Hertz. And it's like $10 a day. It's absolutely completely insane. I don't get it. But that's your first rule. You don't want to be going out there spending 6 to 7 times more than you necessarily have to. Second rule, you're going to order that shit 24 hours before you go. At about the 24-hour mark, all that shit gets jacked the fuck up. It is an absolutely ridiculous thing. And by and large, you can always rent a car in general for cheaper than it is to take a cab or an Uber or a Lyft from the airport to some place downtown, unless the airport is like right downtown, like in Vegas. In Vegas, it's like right on the strip. So you can really pretty much get a cab for something super cheap. But in general, you can usually get a car for around the $10 to $20 range. And if you're there for 3 days, then you're only looking at like a $60, $70 thing. Most cab rides from the airport to somewhere you're going downtown is like $40 each way. It adds up. And this way you kind of get the opportunity to go fucking tool around when you're not doing something. You're not stranded downtown. You don't have to get another fucking cab to go somewhere else. You can just hop in your little Mazda Miata and tool around. Show it off. Fucking do some bleach burnouts in the parking lot, man. I ain't your fucking dad. Rule number three. When you get to the airport, you're going to meet the rental car professional. I'm going to let you know that this is your final boss. This is, if you take nothing from this segment, is where you need to understand that this is a person who does not have your best interest at heart. This is a person who has systematically set up a design to make sure that you get ripped the fuck off, that you are fleeced for nearly double what you were agreed to pay. They will use wording that is specifically designed to trick you into spending money where you do not have to. And I'm going to reveal their lies to you now. I am like the mass magician. I am the unmasked car rental professional. I'm going to let you know what they do to make you poorer and angrier. All right. They are going to ask you whether you would like full or basic insurance coverage. Now, you listen to that, and you're like, oh, geez. I mean, you kind of need insurance. Insurance, like, is mandatory to drive. Fuck, I mean, like, I need some kind of insurance, right? And they're going to explain to you, oh, man, you know, yeah, you can have that fully covered. Nothing could ever happen to it. It get blown up by a bomb and you're fine. Basic coverage, you know, it's just if you get a little dent or something like that, it's going to be totally taken care of. What they won't tell you is that most auto insurances have some kind of basic rental protection. You will have to deal with it, but they have some kind of basic rental protection. All right? They will not tell you you have an option to say no insurance. I am telling you, say no insurance. And then they'll say, you do understand that you're taking the liability? Yes. What is your insurance? Make one up. Allstate. I make a different one up every time. They just want to scare you into buying their insurance. At some point during this conversation, they're going to ask you a seemingly benign question. So what brings you to town? I mean, it seems nice enough, right? Yeah, I'm just trying to find out, you know, what you're doing in town. You know, it's legit. It's not legit. They're trying to fuck with you. What they're trying to do is find out if you're going somewhere that they can try and sell you on an upgrade. And here is where it really gets interesting. You have already gone on to Hotwire and you have gotten a $10 per day rental. They make fucking no money on this and they're not happy about it. They would like to make way more money off you. Now, you've already made a deal with them. This deal gets worse all the time. And they will alter the deal. Pray they don't alter it any further. But you don't have to let them. So here's what happens. I got a little car. I was going to go up through the mountains of Colorado. Next thing you know, I tell this dude, yeah, I'm going up to this mountain range. Ooh. Nah, can't do it in that. Like, what do you mean?
Well, yeah, you can. I wouldn't recommend it, though.
And I was like, wait. Are you telling me that the car that I'm going to rent from you is unsafe? That the car I am going to rent from you, it will leave me stranded in the mountains? No.
I just wouldn't do it.
So wait, you're telling me that this can't physically make this drive? It can. And then he just, you know, like frowny faced at me. And this is not uncommon. I've had people challenge my masculinity in these kinds of conversations. Some fucking alpha bravo motherfucker, you know, once got in my grill in Orlando, Florida about like, okay, I mean, you know that that's like a Kia Soul, right? For the cheap car, the economy car. You know, that's like a Kia Soul. I wouldn't be caught driving a Kia Soul. What kind of dick measuring bullshit is this? I'm not going to upgrade to a goddamn Mustang because my self-esteem was not fucking large enough to deal with this fucking peckerwood. But they will do it, and they will try any angle they can to make you upgrade from the super cheap economy car to something larger. Even if they can get you into a compact car or a fucking, God forbid, a luxury car or an SUV, that you are now dealing with a huge increase in the price of how much this will run you. And then comes the final insult. The final insult. This is called the gas. Ah, the gas. Would you like to buy a full tank of gas? It's cheaper than outside. That's what they're going to say. That's what they're going to say. What they're going to do is trying to charge you for a full tank of gas up front. And yes, on that full tank of gas, it is cheaper per gallon than what you will get outside. But what they don't tell you is you just bought that full motherfucking tank. That if you don't bring it back exactly on empty, you are literally lighting money on fire. In all the times I have rented a car, it has never been prudent or easy for me to have just bought that tank of gas. And if it hasn't made sense for me in the 2 years I've been renting cars nearly two times a week, then it is not ever, ever prudent for you to do it. So don't do it. In fact, I would suggest you do something I have come to call the Teasdale response when you rent a car. His name from my good friend John Teasdale, one of the co-winners of the summer movie draft. He was on the Night Attack movie draft episode. He is also a Go Game game producer. And he has famously coined this response to the welcoming hello, welcome to Hertz, or whatever the car company that you have rented from of choice. He walks up to the counter. He says, hello! My name is John Teasdale. I don't want an upgrade. I don't want insurance. And I'll bring it back full. Good goddamn. If he doesn't get everything he wants, right on time. We're coming back with more. All right. getting the getting text messages from my buddy Anthony Caruso. I told you guys about Anthony Caruso last week. Oh, my good God. I wish I could talk about what he's texting me. But he's saying to put him on air. We're going to try something, folks. We're going to try to do this. We're going to try to put Anthony Caruso on the air. I don't know whether or not this is going to work, but we're going to try it. Anthony Caruso, you are live on the air. How are you doing?
I am live on the air. I just made the most significant purchase of my life, possibly.
Do you want to talk about this on the air?
That's fine. Put me on the air.
You're on the air now. You're on the air now. I just want to make it absolutely clear that what you have texted me is what we are now talking about in a recorded format for which anybody can listen.
Well, I didn't want people to know about it, but I guess nobody listens to your show, so fuck them.
Listen, for once, all of our circle of friends' refusal to support my professional endeavors on the internet will work in your favor.
Yes. Fuck them. They don't know. What they don't know won't hurt them.
Now, what have you done?
I lived in a shame spiral for 10 years where I thought I had the worst credit ever, and it turns out I have immaculate credit and got, like, approved for, like I was Kanye West. It was like I walked into Jared, the Gallery of Jewelry, and they're like, take anything you want. What? You're white? You can have anything in the fucking cabinet. And so that happened.
Just so people understand, you went to... He went to Jared.
He went to Jared, the Gallery of Jewelry.
And you purchased, I assume, jewelry at Jared for what purpose?
An engagement.
An engagement ring. Now, you have to understand, Anthony, for the listeners of this show, this is my show, not Night Attack, but the last time that they heard from you, you were not in a position where you wanted to buy... a ring for anybody. You were putting down in the dumps.
We were, in fact, documenting my extravaganza across the universe, and we were documenting how well I was living it up, living the single life.
You were.
And we had a glorious time.
Would you like to explain to the listenership what has happened between now and then?
In the interim period, when you find folks documented me having a glorious time all over the world, be it surfing, be it serving in the English Guard, be it doing whatever, you know, I might be doing, you know, rescuing puppies from a fire, things I might do. These things helped and worked. And this lady was like, what the fuck? This dude's rescuing puppies from a fire? I need that dude in my life. And came back into the picture. And now I'm thinking about overexpending my life on an engagement ring. And that's where we're at. That's where we're at.
Okay, so just to clarify... The last time we talked to you, everybody on Night Attack was linking to you on Facebook so she could see it. Let's say, for lack of a better term, Adventures. You were saying that she saw this.
Night Attack did not, in fact, have a hand in her coming back around. It was like, whoo, this dude's saving puppies and rescuing fucking... I think Night Attack clearly had a hand in this whole affair.
So you were a broken man in Columbus, Ohio when you were on the show, and now you come to us on the jury show. You have bought a ring at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, for an engagement to this same girl that was the source of your anguish initially.
Well, when you put it that way, it sounds bad.
No. I mean, the Diamond Club saved the day. I mean, the fan club saved the day.
Otherwise, everything you said is factually accurate.
No. And listen, there's only so much that everybody, you know, that is listening to this can really appreciate. I could let you know, knowing more about the situation. This is all very, very, very good news. Awesome. So wait, you spent how much on it?
Well, I mean, more than I can afford. More than I can afford. I mean,
so wait a minute. So what? I mean, did you have a choice? Like, you know, what? Why did you spend so much on a ring?
Well, I had looked at stuff with, you know, the girl.
Yeah.
And I knew sort of what she liked, and unfortunately, she has a nice taste. And, it is what it is. You know, she likes what she likes, and, you know, she likes what she likes.
Well, there
and
we go.
She likes nice things, and if I have to, you know, spend a little dough to, you know, lock up a nice chick, then that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Now, does she know?
I mean, she knows that we went and we looked and we investigated it. No, she
and
hasn't.
And this is since the reconciliation.
Yes, she hasn't. I haven't sprung it on her yet. It's not actually going to be ready for me to pick up until Thursday next week. But it's done. I mean, this is almost as much as my truck. This is the most significant purchase. I've made like two big purchases in the last month. One of them was a truck, and one of them was a woman.
Good Lord. Well, Anthony, I think everybody in the chat room here is very, very excited for you. I am very excited for you, and I just want to close out. I'll give you a call after the show, but I do just want to say on air that I made a bet with our mutual friend Rachel when your lady came back into the picture that you guys would be reconciled fully and completely by Labor Day. And you
said 2 weeks.
Way over.
While we're on the air, I would like to trounce your betting debauchery because you are not the fucking king de la creme. You claimed 2 weeks, and at the 2 week mark, I was clearly not back with her and was still
no,
doing
what I made
what
the bet
I
with Rachel that it was Labor
so
Day.
You are not
I win.
Correct.
I win. If you're buying a ring, I win. So much do I win. All right, Anthony, I will talk to you. I'll call you back right after this. Right after this wraps up.
Okay. Night Attack people, I love you. Friend me on Facebook and keep sending me. I'd like to still be doing cool things all across the world. So there's no reason that has to stop.
No, nobody helps happy people, Anthony. You're happy now. You get no help. I love you. I'll talk to you later.
Fuck me.
I had a moment today. I was working with Andrew at the Moscone Center. When I say Andrew, I mean Andrew Main. He was doing a gig for Hewlett Packard. And I was helping him out with it. And we were walking back from a little jaunt around the Soma neighborhood, which is where Moscone Center is. And it was there that I ran into somebody wearing one of our brand new Diamond Club t-shirts. Boom. And it blew my goddamn mind. It was so, so great not only to see somebody with such a new shirt. I mean, those have only been shipped over the last week. People have only had a week to wear them. I was so excited that he was wearing it out in public and that we randomly ran into him. But also it meant a lot because it was with Andrew. You know, I had previously worked with Andrew in a professional capacity. He was my only steady income. Parting ways, at least professionally, on that kind of daily level with Andrew was very painful for me. But not painful. I mean, it was just a natural kind of emotional process. But seeing him see that meant a tremendous amount to me. So just I've been retweeting a lot of people with their DC t-shirts out there. Just know that I love you. It really makes me so happy. There's no element of it that doesn't just bring me all the light and joy from all around the world that I get to see that stuff. So go ahead and check it out. And thank you. And hit me up on Twitter at Justin R. Young if you get them, because I love to see people wearing them. I love to see people getting them. I love to see those shirts making people happy, because Diamond Club means something, folks. And it means something if we want to floss it, if we want to have it out there in the wild. Speaking of things that make me happy, emails. You can email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Go ahead and make sure you put jury in the subject line. I got one from Matt. We continue to talk about college. Matt says, this is an email to present a more personal view of the college experience. I went to college immediately out of high school and naturally just partied and enjoyed the social aspect of college and lasted one semester. After 90 days of fun, I found myself in community college and working full-time at a call center. Needless to say that my grades during this time were the equivalent of dog shit, and then one day I randomly decided I wanted to go to graduate school. This motivation led me from getting straight F's and D's to getting all A's. I graduated with my associates and went to a four-year college. And I am now in the process of getting my MBA and my JD at the same time. I'm totally into this, man. If you have a reason to go to college, then go. My big thing is just you don't need to go. Don't feel like you need to do anything. It's a big, fat, beautiful world full of opportunities and tools to get you from point A to point B, no matter what stage of life you are at. They are abundant and come to you at little or no cost. College is an extraordinarily expensive tool. Don't use it unless you know what you are doing with it. All right, folks, that about wraps it up for this episode of the show. Again, emails, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. I got one amazingly awesome email from Gina, I believe her name was. I don't want to read through it, but I'll tell you what, it was moving. It was moving. The emails I get from this show are unlike anything I've ever seen in my entire life. It's been amazing to see, how people have reacted to it. Considering it's a very personal show, I try to let you guys into my life. Man, I just let my best friend tell you. I just found out that my best friend just bought a gigantic honking ass rock to marry this his girlfriend, for which he has had a very substantial and filling yet recently turbulent relationship. That's letting y'all into my life, man. That used to be a private conversation. Now I'm opening the window so y'all can hear it. Let me know what you think. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, Justin R. Young, or join the conversation at the Diamond Club Reddit. That is diamondclub.reddit.com. But until next week, after Dragon Con, hopefully I'll see you at Dragon Con. But if I don't, please don't die. What do you say we both just leave? Why is there more here left to see? And we're going to do bonus show. Oh, shit. Bonus show. Bonus show, playing the bonus show music. Bonus show. bonus show. Gonna take some chat room questions. Thought this show was over, but you were fucking wrong. Cause the show goes on, motherfucker. Yeah, show is moving on. Taking questions from the chat because I can do that. Now that I'm not on the motherfucking road, I got three monitors and you're a motherfucking chode. All right, here we go. Let's go ahead and answer questions from the chat. Any update on the proposed book? So I told everybody I was going to do a book about travel shows or travel stories, and I never did. I have art for it. I have a cover for it. It's really just waiting for me to finish up these stories. I got about four of them in some variations of half written. Some are closer than others. I want to have 12. I will eventually do that. I've recently kind of started rededicating myself to getting it done. It got really busy. And also, a lot of this dovetails into kind of my own general. I kind of hit a writer's block situation. Now I feel like I've got momentum. In no small part because my boy John Teasdale and I, he wants to we want to be writing buddies. So I want to be writing buddies with him. Hopefully we'll be able to figure that out. I think I saw one more. Do I like Egg McMuffins? No, I don't like Egg McMuffins. If I roll into McDonald's for breakfast, which is kind of my go-to spot for breakfast, sausage biscuit. Big fan of the sausage biscuit. I have a problem with the microwave egg. As we've established on this show, I've got a little finicky taste for eggs. I like it exactly how I want. Microwaved is not one of them. I am being told right now that McDonald's does not microwave their eggs. Here, grab the mic.
So I will have you know that the Egg McMuffin is actually like egg on a griddle. So when you have the white egg part, they actually do it on stovetop. They have these little like ring things they break the eggs into, and then they break the yolk because they have to break the yolk because it's a food safety issue.
But they don't like...
They don't throw it in a microwave.
But they're not cooking it right when you order it. Like they're just cooking those and then put them on a warming tray, right?
If you go at their busiest time of day, they should be fresh. Otherwise, they put them in the warming tray.
I don't trust it.
All right, fine.
Can't win with it. Thank you for informing me.
You're welcome.
This has been a guest-heavy episode of Jury. I'll tell you what.
You're welcome.
All right. I got schooled. Let's play the I got schooled music. Hold on. Here we go. Got motherfucking schooled by my girlfriend who used to work at McDonald's making them. And those eggs are fresh, bitch. They ain't microwaved. Now I feel like a motherfucking, I'm going to say slave. That's racist. All right. Let's go. Any update on Dragon Con? Fucktron 9000. Okay. So Dragon Con, it really means a lot to me. I was going to talk about that a little bit more. It's tremendous. I got kind of sidetracked by the Anthony Caruso segment. So Fucktron 9000, what we're going to do is have a little concert. We're not going to have the same situation that we had before. Initially, it was just going to be us doing Night Attack, and then just kind of everyone stayed in their seats, and we just turned the stage over and had a concert. That's not going to happen. It looks like now we might have a venue to have a little bit of a concert slash party. So more details on that. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter. It's really going to depend on the talent because I've jerked around Spagnola and Shy Guy and Tay Allen so much on this that I don't want to assume that they are going to do anything different because I've already fucked around with them on this like three times. So I got to make sure one by one whether or not they're cool with it. If they are, then we do it. But FT9K, not dead, but it won't feature the Jeep. The Jeep's going to be on Night Attack. You got to be there at Dragon Con for Night Attack, 10 p.m. Saturday night, not Sunday. Normally Sunday. Now it's Saturday. Hoppy Hobo says, what the fuck is this? The McDonald's marketing department. Also, Wait, hold on. The eggs come in a jug? It's a jug of eggs?
No. Okay, so, well, it depends what you get. So if you get the eggs...
Is your mic on?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you get the eggs that are white with the yolk in the middle...
Yeah.
That is an egg that they actually crack. If you get the eggs that are, like, the yellow folded flat things, they do come in, like, a cardboard jug. And
okay.
Then, but they're still heating it up on stovetop. So...
I don't trust it.
Well, and you should... And I'm the fucking vegan, okay? Like... And I know how they cook their shit.
All right. Well, there we go. That is fucking... Here's the further clarification from Ashley Paramore. She doesn't eat fucking eggs anymore. Still got the knowledge, though. The knowledge, though. Still breaking fucking shells of that knowledge, bro. Okay. All right, if there's any other questions, let me just try to spike. But did that girl get pregnant? No. As far as I know, Anthony's not proposing to his girlfriend because she got pregnant. I think it was just one of the things where they were very close before, and then things got rocky, and now they're reconciled. So it's like, all right, let's just pick up where we left off. Is there any salsa left? Yes, there are only a few jars of salsa. And I'll say this, because that's Salpica salsa. From Frontera Foods? Have I been going on a culinary journey that has left my taste buds enthralled? I tried the jalapeno and mango salsa. I fucking hate fruit and salsa. I love this shit. I would fucking literally get into a fight over if someone tried to take my mango and jalapeno salsa. It is delish. Wait, hold on. More clarifications.
Would you fight me because I ate the rest of it when you weren't looking?
You motherfucking ladies taking your salsa.
Salsa.
Taking your salsa.
Nom, nom, nom.
Salsa.
Tum, tum,
that
tum.
Bitch took my salsa. All right. Here we go. Whatever happened to my podcast with Amtrekker? A couple things. Number one, it was a lot harder when I had to like reset it up on my laptop and I wasn't happy with the audio quality. A lot of those problems have been solved now that we have the studio. I would like to kind of just have Amtrekker as a regular guest on this podcast just because I think the idea of a weekly thing, at least right now, is a little bit onerous because we oftentimes don't see each other for weeks at a time, and to try and do it over the phone is kind of too complicated. But I do want to have every once in a while Amtrekker on this show. In fact, if you want to make sure that happens, everybody go ahead and @ReplyAmtrekker on Twitter right now and say, you should come on the jury show again. I love that episode when you guys talked about the fucking movie. People are saying that Munson 2099 says that this episode should be called Eggsplanations with Healthy Addict. You get to travel back in time just to see any musician alive. Who? Oh man, I don't know. Somebody dead, right? Oh gosh, darn it. I don't know. I mean, the Beatles, probably, right? You know, so an alive John Lennon and George Harrison. I'd probably like to see them live. The College Lifestyle book. Any updates? Brian's got to get out of this vacation he's in and this issue with Discovery, which it ain't my news, but I'll let you know that there's news on the Brian and Discovery stuff. It's all I'll say. It's not my room to say it. Nothing's settled. There's news, and it's good news. Have I visited Jared's, the Galleria of Jewelry, lately? We just had Anthony on here. Anthony apparently bought a ring. I mean, would I buy a ring? I mean, it seems like I have a girlfriend I've been with for a pretty long time. In fact, me and Ashley got together before Anthony and his soon-to-be fiance got together. I mean, it'd be a little weird, right? You know, maybe it's a sensitive issue. Maybe I'm dragging this out because the person who's sitting in the opposite side of the room, is made annoyed by.
Jury.
Yeah.
I have a question.
What?
Will you marry me?
Get out of here. Oh!
Broke my ring pop.
Rejected marriage. Rejected marriage proposals. Shit.
Moved out. With the bird kid.
Shut down. All right, everybody, that is going to be the end of the show. Thank you guys so much for hanging out for the bonus show. We will talk to you later. Send me all the emails you want, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. See you guys later.
'76 will commence again.